Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being aired for, believe it or not, May 1st, 2022. Wow, we're already in May. Oh my. Anyway, time flies, and we're going to talk about friendship today because it is such an important subject, and I do get emails about this from various people about the subtleness of friendship and what it's based upon and how to have a friend and all of that. Friendship depends on a couple of things. One, integrity on the part of both people, okay? And the amount of compassion that can come from that integrity, which is very rare. Very, very rare. And I'm going to give you a little story about that here in a moment. Integrity. Now, what does that mean? To be as honest and truthful as I possibly can be. But a lot of people in their relationships, and though they think they have a friendship, can't allow the other person to be upfront with them because they know the hell that will pay and the lack of compassion and understanding that is there. When you look up the word friendship, it is defined as the emotions or conduct of friends, the state of being friends, the state of mutual trust support between allied nations, yada, yada, yada. There is no really good definition of friendship at all. Why? Because it's a nebulous factor. It is very, very nebulous in the intellect of most people. When I think in terms of friendship with people that I've had, you know they're not your friend, not really. You understand that they're in it for themselves, whatever is the relationship. You serve or I serve a purpose in their life. And if they feel as though you have betrayed that purpose, whether that purpose has been, you know, dictated or defined or whatever, you know that there is going to be hell to pay. Friendship does not depend upon blind trust. It depends upon compassion for one another and the integrity of that compassion. Now, if you have that kind of experience with another, then you have achieved a great friendship where you can tell each other anything. Let me give you a story. A story. This is a story about two friends that were walking through the desert. One of my beloved students gave me this story years ago, way back in 2003, and I was so deeply moved by this story. And during a part of the journey that they had as they were walking through the desert, they fell into an argument, and one of the friends slapped the other one in the face. The one who got slapped was hurt, but without saying anything, wrote in the sand, "Today, my best friend slapped me in the face." Wrote that in the sand. They kept walking until they found an oasis where they decided to take a bath. The one who had been slapped got stuck in the mire and started to drown in the water. But the friend saved him, the one who slapped him. After he discovered the fact that his friend had really been a friend, and he recovered from drowning, he wrote on a stone, "Today my best friend saved my life." The friend who had been slapped and saved, his best friend asked him, "After I hurt you, you wrote in the sand, and now you write on a stone. Why?" The other friend replied, "When someone hurts you, we should write it in the sand, where the winds of forgiveness can ease it away and erase all sin, all manner of sin. But when someone does something that is noble for us, it must be engraved in stone where the wind can never erase it. To me, that defines friendship. You're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have difficulties. You're dealing with a human being. But if you hold to that, and if you make that the ugly of your life, you will miss the chance to write it in stone, to make things beautiful once again. My first question comes from Kathy in Los Angeles. She writes me often. I thank her for that. Can any one of us have a real friendship? Now, this is taken out of a context of her complaining about a friendship and that she has no friends. And basically, she's come to the place in her life where she believes she has no friends and cannot have a friend. Kathy, can any one of us have a real friendship? I don't know. It depends on the two people. It is not for me to say. I would love to tell you yes, and I would not like to say no. But this is where it's at with people. They just don't understand the nature of what it means as friendship. Friendship is a very interesting thing. It brings about insight, and it brings about courage. It brings about the integrity of taking the risk of being forthright. It has nothing to do with mutual trust and support and emotionality as the dictionary defines it. It's more about conduct. But with real friendship, you either love someone and you accept their flaws without vengeance, or you don't. Now, how many of us have been told by people that they loved us, that they had to have us, that they wanted us to be, you know, whatever, a husband, a wife, a lover, or whatever, a friend, and then we find out that they really don't mean it because they can't take it. They can't understand what the other person might be doing that looks to them like sabotaging the relationship. But really, what is a relationship, a friendship, if I can't understand why a person does what they obviously need to do, and I can't be compassionate about it? I can't be understanding. That doesn't mean, you know, that I'm going to look at this person and say, your sins are forgiven, because they are. But that doesn't mean either that I'm going to want to hang around to, you know, go through the mishigas of this. But I need to say this to you, and you need to hear this very clearly. You have to decide deep inside you if the person that you think is your friend is viable in you, is something that you need to recognize about your state of friendship, and if it challenges your friendship, your state of love, your state of compassion, your state of goodness. And if it does, that's all the more reason to hang in there, to really find out, what am I made of? How far do I go with friendship? How far do I go with kindness? How far do I go with compassion? How willing am I to go the full route? Now, that is a big question. Most people are traditional. They, when they feel betrayed, they don't ask, what was it about me that made it impossible for you to share with me what you were going through? What is it about me that didn't allow for you to be honest with me? And what were you afraid of about me and my reaction? Well, there's the answer right there. And if you can sit and listen to that compassionately, and you realize that that person may never, ever be able to share anything with me that is intimate or that may be friendship threatening, then I know what kind of person I am. And it helps me understand how to be a better friend. Can any one of us, you ask me, Kathy, really have a really important friendship? That depends on you. If you can hang in there and listen without judgment and bias to a friend, and you can sustain the compassion that would bring about union between the two of you, then you have achieved something quite powerful. Don't let another person's mischief keep you from the loving heart that lives within you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last question from Tim in Los Angeles also. He often writes me, what should I do when a friend has betrayed me? And then he goes into what happened to him in a friendship with a woman. Well, as the story said, you forgive. You write it in the sand. You understand when someone forgives and allows for forgiveness, the great relationship emerges. You must be that person. Do you truly want that great relationship, or is it just words? What sustains in you a great friendship? What is a great friendship? Is it not to go through the ebb and flow of mistakes and misunderstandings with each other? Is it not to have the love, the compassion, to be able to walk with them, and when they're ill, to sit by their bed, and when they are struggling, to be the ears and the eyes that do not cast guilt and shame upon them? What kind of person am I? I am the one that decides what kind of friendship I will have with another. If you feel betrayed, does that really change anything? Does it? If you truly love that person, would it really change anything? And how do you know what their point of view is and why they did what they did until you ask? And when you hear it and it goes against the grain of your bias, your beliefs, your emotionality, is this person showing you a flaw inside that you need to transcend, that you need to change within you? This is what you have to decide. I have to decide. Friendship depends not just on the other person. It depends, Tim, on whether or not I can be friendly. I can be honorable to them in order to listen to what they may have said or done that I see as betrayal. There may be more to the story than I can understand with my intellect, with the precepts and the concepts of my own personal bias. How will I know unless I listen to it? And what good is it to make an enemy out of a friend because I'm loyal to the bias of, let's say, Greg Penn's idea of right and wrong, good and bad, righteousness? Well, this is about pride now. And now the friendship really shows me that it wasn't about loving this person or caring about them that betrayed me. Maybe I forced that betrayal because I'm so judgmental. I'm so ugly. I put righteousness ahead of friendship. There's all sorts of ways of looking at it. But in my regard, the way I look at it personally, I have to see the bigger picture. Will I love you forever? People will say, oh, I'll love you forever, forever. That's not true. You and I both know. Most people just love us for what they get from us and not what they show us about ourselves from within. That's the big one. And to miss that experience is to miss the significance of a person's life. I hope that helps you, dear Tim. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here, right on time. I'll be back on the air next week. I hope you'll join me. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Oh, by the way, if you ever have a question, I'm have to be reminded of this. It's greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Yes, email me. Okay? Have a wonderful weekend. Namaste.